Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day and welcome to the first regular season edition of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host for the week, Steve Fizz. That's right, Doss is off, dead, recovering from losing the 140 book. Either that or he's just sourcing ideas to write his picture book. Either, well, maybe it's a third option. He's just in mourning after seeing the Statesman boy, Isaac Heaney, turn Bailey Williams into a goddamn Bailey stepladder. Thank you very much. But welcome, listeners. We've got a great show for you today, of course. We'll be talking all the things we've noticed over the first portion of the round one. We'll be talking about our waivers and maybe a couple trade talks and a little bit of Captain Risky. But I've got three gentlemen with me who have all beaten me in some form this week, kicking off with my old mate, Jono, who looks like he's going to get the Chockies in the home league, avenging his grand final loss.
Yeah, g'day listeners, g'day boys. Look, it might be round one, and yes, avenging the win, but hey, you've got the trophy for the next 6 to 8 months, so still got the bragging rights, but good to get a win first up.
Yeah, and Mrs. Fizz is actually away for the next 5 nights, so I'm looking forward to a bit of quality time with the trophy. Don't worry about that. Next member, who's Geelong Cats, beat my former team that I supported, the Collingwood Magpies. That's right, I'm now a lifelong Gold Coast Suns supporter. Cam must be up and about with the Gary Ablett's doing the job.
I'll tell you what, feels good beating you round one. I mean, it's always nice for the Cats to get a win going into round one, but just that little bit sweeter wins over the Pies at the G in front of about 77,000 Pies fans who collectively had five teeth. It was brilliant.
Oh, geez, such a great joke. Meanwhile, hashtag Bucks out. And the last member of the team who's probably sitting there confused going, how do I actually get the wood over Steve? Well, you live in Tasmania, so you're just in a perpetual state of victory over me. And that is, of course, the Statesman.
Good evening, gentlemen. And I must say, I love at the end of round one, and you've had two wins in your draft leagues. One against the bye, hashtag Cam. And the other one against We Got Big Cock. So revenge is here.
That is, yeah, everyone cares about our home league, Statesman, so it's all good times, but take that, Coxie. And you know, let's get ready for the grind, people. This is 23 more weeks of this crap, so good times. And the hype of the week, I thought I'd continue on with Doss's hype of the week, and there is no hype. It is just hate, because goals, tackles, and hit-outs are all down. AFL fantasy scoring has gone down the gurgler with it. So good going, Steve Hocking, you giant douchebag. But
unless you're playing Essendon every week and it's all things sunny side up.
That's a good point, Jono, because we'll get to that. But
we will.
Stato, why don't you kick us off with the four things you noticed about the three matches you were looking at?
Well, first off, hashtag off Brown. I've just scored the highest ever round one score I've ever made in AFL fantasy, but that's okay. So I'll quickly, the four things: Adelaide versus Hawthorn. Number one, if Rory Sloane is left alone, the opposition will moan. And the end of the day, he is an absolute beast, and there's a reason why he's the person that gets the attention from the opposition, is because he is that good. So the owners who probably would have got him, I would say, at a reasonably good bargain from probably round six onwards, to be quite honest with you. Mm. No, he went earlier.
Yeah.
And well-deserved.
No.
Round three. I would have thought he was a bit more of a bargain than that, but the owners would be very, very happy this week. Number two was a little bit of a question mark, and it may be conditions in round one that brought us this way, but Crows midfield time on ground was a concern, so I think we need to monitor and watch that when they play better midfield teams than Hawthorn. So Gibbs only played 87 minutes, Brad Crouch only 91 minutes, Matt Crouch only 98 minutes. And you put in that to Susudio actually pumping out 111 minutes on the ground for GWS. That is certainly a lot less game time. So once they get a fair bit of pressure and aren't control the ball through the midfield like they did, there is a potential that their scores might be a little bit lower. Number three, Warple looks like he was a bargain despite all the hype. Much better than I ever thought he would produce. I did take him when I got the opportunities, but even I was surprised with what he could deliver. Scoring two goals through the midfield as well for his ton, that's very impressive. And let's face facts, and Steve's been telling us all pre-season, O'Meara is a star. I think we've forgotten that with all the injury concerns, but he was absolutely brilliant. So impressive start for both those two boys. And number four, big boy, very impressive. We've had some interesting ruck results through this week, but there's late value in your drafts yet again. And big boy proving himself that we know in his St Kilda days he was pretty good with his point scoring. The double rolls probably hurt him at Hawthorn, but he just took it up to Jacobs on the weekend, and he's got a pretty good run moving forward. So big boy, if you've got him, you'd be pretty happy with him.
No, it's interesting because we've seen some ruck struggles this week. Jono, why don't you tell us what you've noticed this week?
Yeah, so I had the Blues and the Tigers, and everyone was talking about Handsome Tom, kicked the first two goals of the game. Kind of went missing, but you just put that down to a bit of rust of not playing for 8 weeks, or 8 months, sorry. So he missed a couple of easy marks he should have taken, but a couple of weeks' time, Handsome Tom will be back, and those scores will certainly go up, because I thought Richmond's pressure against Carlton was certainly there on Thursday night, resulting in the goals from the turnover. So Tom Lynch, Jack Riewoldt, even though he had a quiet night, you're going to see more forward 50 entries for the Tigers there. Sam Walsh, he is going to be an absolute superstar. I think everyone was speaking about him on Twitter. I would say get him in your keeper league, but he's already owned by 94% of teams, so good luck trying to get him off your waiver wires there. Because
is he actually usable in a redraft league? Like a seven midfield league?
Well, he's a mid-forward, so yeah. Well, he's a mid-forward, so he's...
No. Setterfield is, but...
No, pure mid.
He's not. Yeah.
Setterfield. But I think he could be, especially in a matchup.
At least buy covers, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if he's pumping out 82s each week, that's certainly serviceable as well. So, no, very... And Carlton, they're on the up. Got a couple of good-looking guys. Harry Mackay actually interested me. If Carlton have that midfield group for the next couple of years and really start to develop, he's going to be getting some silver service and could be someone to look at in the future as well.
Very interesting. With, you know, Kerner had just a stinker game, so maybe it's pretty hard to predict. They've obviously got a couple of big forwards down there. But Cam, how about Melbourne and Port? What happened there?
Yeah, so the first thing I noticed, I guess, is swimming and halfback. So Jack Watts was actually really quite serviceable off the halfback. He had 22 possessions with a great kick-to-handball ratio for about 92 fantasy points. It's going to be interesting to see if he can maintain that position, and if that's where they're going to roll him out for the rest of the year, it could be something that he really grows into and maybe has found his role. The second one is guarding the kick-in. I noticed neither team did it. So both Melbourne and Port would allow the opposition's team kicker to run as far as they wanted and just either kick it short or kick it long. There was basically no pressure on that kicker at any point in time. The third thing is the ruck tag. So Gawn, I know the fantasy ruck scoring has been a little bit up and down this round, but Gawn was worked over by Lysett, by Ryder, and the rest of the Port team. Just everyone was giving him a little bit of a niggle, and it really, really worked. He ended up with pretty restricted hitouts and looked, sluggish around the ground. And I really think that maybe the ruck tag for the big rucks like Gawn, Grundy, and Co. might come in vogue this year. And finally, it's pretty hard not to mention the pig. So Tom Rockliffe went massive, and so congratulations to anyone who got him in their draft, probably around, you know, round eight was probably where he was going, and he could potentially be a captain lock for the rest of the year.
Just on the Gawn thing, this is something we saw last year in the grand final with Grundy. I know Grundy still scored quite well, but West Coast, like, that's what they tried to do. I'm just thinking, if so many teams are going to the two ruck model, whether they try to work over the solo rucks, the star rucks. Probably not seeing it at the minute. with Goldie. The game's going on as we're recording this, but that's something to keep an eye on. And also,
yeah, absolutely.
Gorn just lost 20 points from hitouts alone because there is none. Stayston, what's your next game?
It's Brisbane and West Coast, and first one we've got to go all aboard the Sheet Island Cruise. I mean, that was pretty impressive by the boy. With Gaffey, Shuey and Yo all ahead for the attention, he, by the end of the season, could be a value M2 for us. I don't think he's going to break into the top 10 midfielders, but I think he might be able to get into that 11 to 20 mark, which... well above what any of us actually put in the rankings. So certainly he continued that JLT form that we saw. I know it's against Brisbane, but Brisbane have actually got a pretty decent midfield, to be honest. So he's had to work pretty well. It's just his running power is actually pretty impressive. My concerns were confirmed as well as my number 2 point. Lachie O'Neill was a really good team player.
Lachie O'Neill?
Now, I don't like them in my team.
Is he Lachie Neal's Irish cousin?
Is that what I said? O'Neill.
He's his half-brother.
Oh. This is how so angry I am with Lachie Neal. He's just, everything is O before his name comes up. But Lachie Neal is unfortunately a good team player and not a good selfish fantasy player. And it just looks like this is what he's going to be, between that 90 and 100 points per week. Unfortunately, it probably makes him an M3.
Yeah.
Sad.
Still better in Supercoach.
Some value there.
Right, fair enough. If your ruckman is playing against Steph Martin, quickly check your backup rucks for that matchup and see what they've got, because he is, and we hear that Rhys Stanley's a decent stopper, but Steph Martin is the greatest stopper we've actually got on a one-to-one ruck contest, and he even hurts Goldie on a yearly basis, keeps Goldie down to about 60 points. So if you're matched up against Brisbane, it's a bit of a concern that week. And last but not least is West Coast will be rushing back any forward that they can actually get into that team as soon as possible. They went in very young, and yes, those kids have really got some promise, but they're not the backbone of a good forward line right now.
I was just as surprised you didn't mention McCluggage. His score came off 67% time on ground, so another year or two when he gets that tank, he could be pumping out some massive scores.
He's Lockie Whitfield 2.0.
Stay off the drugs, Hugh. Jono, who else you got there, buddy?
I got the Cats v Pies on Friday night, and the first thing that I noticed was no Ablett, no Selwood at the centre bounce attendances. They both took seven for the whole match between them. Six for Selwood, one for Gaz Ablett Jr. So, Cam, I'm still hopeful that those beers are coming my way, but... advantage you for now. They did rely on Kelly and Partiff to play in the centre there, so Statesman, big call there to get on the pre-season there. So it looks like Chris Scott's going to be leading with them for the rest of the year. Danger, always a constant there in that midfield. Zach Tui, I think they missed their long kick. His long kick. Tom Stewart was taking majority of the kick-in duties, and they did share it around a little bit. But I did notice a lot of short kick-ins from Tom Stewart. So once Tui's back, just penetrate over that defensive 50 and enjoy his scoring once he does come back in. And with the Pies midfield, we've always had a bit of questions over them throughout the pre-season. But it looks like Adam Treloar is going to be that constant in that midfield. I know Taylor Adams is to come back, but Beams, Pendlebury, they're all rotating forward or back or wherever they needed to be at the time, but Treloar always seemed to be in there in the stoppages and the centre bounces there. So if you got Treloar, you probably would have got him in second or third round, I'd imagine. You've got yourself a pretty good player there this year.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I've got to say that's probably why he was the highest-ranked Pies midfielder for us. So, happy days. Mm-hmm. Cam?
I'll tell you what. My next game, when I was assigned this game, I thought, far out, that couldn't be a worse game. Suns versus the Saints. And you know what? It was actually surprisingly good quality.
No, it wasn't.
I you know what? I completely disagree. Like, I considering the amount of skill errors that have plagued the entire first round, the bottom two teams from last year produced, you know, a game that was actually more appropriate for maybe a middle tier team. Like, it was okay. It was great. So the four things I noticed, the first one was the Marvel Stadium surface is garbage yet again.
Taking a shot at a poor greenkeeper. This is just absolute horseshit. Sitting up there in your ivory tower, taking a crack at the
working man.
I'll tell you what, though. It seems like maybe that man doesn't exist because whoever's doing that job, maybe it's vacant. Maybe no one's doing the job. Because at the moment, you know, there was a point in the game where there was a player who came down on his left foot and nothing, like, it should have been a regulatory landing, but he created a divot that basically went through to China. And that is a big problem for injuries going forward. I think they'll get it right. But in the time that it takes to get it right, I'm worried for any team that has their home stadium as Marvel Stadium. Injuries could pile up. Our second point is Doss's boy, Fiorini. He is probably ready to push into the elite fantasy tier this year. He's shown a fair few signs over the last couple of years, and he's, you know, posted 114 with a great mix of kicks and handballs. He plays a very fantasy-friendly game. You know, good luck to those who have drafted him. Next point is just a little bit interesting. Six of St Kilda's top seven scorers were named Jack. So we've known for a long time that they've got half the team named Jacks, but it's never really lined up like that. And finally, Seb Ross, the new game style may not be suited to him. And it worries me because I was so big on him pre-season. But he's come off the JLT with two pretty average scores, and he backed it up with 27 touches today, but finished with 82.
Well, everyone, you know, people have bad games. I mean, you're not saying sell, are you?
I'm not saying sell yet, but I'm saying it's three in a row, even though it's JLT for the first two.
JLT doesn't count.
I think if you see enough of the same thing, it's a trend, right?
I just wipe JLT. I just don't care. But, point taken. Something to monitor, Cam. Something to monitor. The Jack thing.
They're just trying to get a...
You know, you can go with three. You don't need to notice four things. You can just notice three. That's fine. and Stato, the last match you were looking at.
Yeah, GWS and Essendon, Sir Studio is a star, and we'll fight it out for the top scoring position for the year. Number two, Taranto is a star, and will prove to be one of the biggest bargains for the year. All those that were concerned about his role, they are shown to be false. Lockie Whitfield is a star. And the fourth, but last bit, who were they playing again? I can't seem to remember.
Some drug cheats, but that's fine.
Jono with the hot fire as
just
usual.
Just a quick question. With Taranto, do you think he gets a slight hit when Ward and Kelly come back in, or you think he's the main man there to go back in there?
Well, someone needs to get a hit, so I think they all do. I think when you look at the time on ground versus Adelaide, I think that's where part of it comes from. So we're talking Cogs had 111 minutes on field. Yeah, probably
he's playing deep forward a lot as well.
Yeah, but he probably gets a bit more of a break when they're at full power.
Yeah. Ah, fair enough.
You can just keep going, Jono.
Yeah, I was about to do that. The last game I had was the Dogs and the Saints. As Steve mentioned at the start of the show, Isaac Heaney immortalised Bailey Williams as that stepladder, so maybe you'll get that poster Stato when he gets Mark of the Year this year and just send it to Doss, get it signed. Yeah. No, but he was playing forward a lot. We all thought he was going to be in the guts, but spent a lot of time forward on Saturday night. But I think once they get round one, no cause for concern just yet. He will get the midfield time. The Bont, we weren't too sure how much mid-forward time he was going to get, but he spent a lot of time in the midfield. So it looks like him and McRae with Hunter are going to be the guys in that midfield, with Dunkley, McLean, who was the one who actually got the slide, actually. He spent a lot of time playing forward and got a hit there, whereas Dunkley and Libba, they were fantastic. So really good there. But the Swans, they just had no quick ball movement. The Dogs were just, like the Dogs of 2016, manic pressure, quick handballs. So they're going to get a lot of possessions, I think, the Dogs, with the quick 1-2 handball, look for a guy in space, and then with the 6-6-6 rule, they can get that fast ball movement. So I'm actually pretty excited about Western Bulldogs players this year. And Hayden Crozier, we actually thought he was going to get a bump, because we saw Suckling playing forward in the JLT, but that was pretty quashed pretty quickly. But hey, as Cam said, he's a Western Bulldogs player. Their home games are at Marvel, and we did see him slide on that surface on Saturday night. So there is an injury just around the corner for Suckling, especially with him. He's susceptible to calves and Achilles. So watch out for the Crozier if he is floating around on your waiver wire. He could be a good pickup.
So that Suckling thing wasn't a trend. Not a trend.
No.
Is that what you're telling me? Cam, what other trends did you notice?
So Frio North, which is actually happening right now as we record this, the main thing I think is to take a little bit of solace in Todd Goldstein actually doing quite well. And maybe, you know, rucks have been pretty putrid all round, but maybe there's a silver lining. Maybe it's just a bad week one and rucks caught the heebie-jeebies, but I think there's still probably some points around for rucks. It's to be noted, though, at the time of talking, he has only had 14 hitouts in his 56 heading into half time. So it Steve, you're right in regards to hitouts are way down, and most rucks are going to take a hit there, but those that can back it up and be that sort of extra giant midfielder are probably going to do okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about my trade target of the week sort of fits that bracket, but it's something we spoke about in the preseason, that the rucks who don't rely on those hitouts might be the ones to target. I know Nan kicked 3 goals, and we don't expect that every week, but, you know, sort of him and Sinclair and McAvoy, all those sort of types seem to do all right, which Grundy actually fits that bill as well, so that was bizarre.
And that's why I like seeing someone like Reece Stanley, who got monstered in every ruck contest against Grundy, he still put up 85 because he's actually serviceable around the ground. The second point and final one for this game is Bailey Scott can play. Like, as a rook, he is crushing it in this game. Like, he is great to watch, and he's put up 63 at the half. That's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, absolutely crazy, man. So, is that all you got for us, Cam?
Cam McCarthy, right. 4 goals.
Just didn't the 2 points up there. No, no more Jack's line.
Oh, thank Christ. But Cam, why don't you spit us out a couple of iTunes reviews? Look, the listeners, you've been awesome. You've come for us all year. Not physically come, but came for us on the iTunes reviews. You've done some great work there. Over 150 ratings now, Doss. Ratings, but the reviews have come really well as well, so we thank you so much for that, and of course the support of the Mock Draft website, really showing us the love there, and certainly going to open us up to do a few more exciting things later in the year. But Cam, give us a couple of reviews this week.
So the first one comes from a great name, Jacques Cold Hands, and he's basically saying that DOS is robbed. But he about the reviews, but it, you know, it's a great pod, helped me see the value in such your boys as Bose. Keep it coming. But can the Statesman cool his jets a little on Pinos, because cab sales are the modern man's drop.
Oh,
shots fired.
Can I just say that I've never made the point, ever made the point, that I'm a modern man.
That is true.
Mm.
And then the second review that we've got is from The Fossil. Not sure if The Fossil or just a fossil, another fossil. But best fantasy pod available, full stop. Fizz is a weapon and knows his stuff. Statesman needs more airtime. Not sure we should do that. And Jono and Doss are good too. Cam is, well, Cam. Keep it up, lads. The Fossil.
Well, thank you very much, Fossil. That's some great stuff. We would love to give Stace more airtime, but he's off gallivanting around the globe searching for the finest pinots, and we respect his time commitments there. But, boys, it's time to talk about waiver wire pickups, the top five waiver pickups. Now, just for the listeners, we know I've got a lot of new listeners this year. So the way we work out our ownership percentages for the waivers is we use players who are less than 65% owned on Ultimate Footy. So that goes quite deep. So if you're in a shallower league, say you're in a 10-team, 3-4-1-3 league, something like that, there will be better players available on your waiver wire, but we're trying to cater to everyone as much as we can. We do raise that ownership percentage through the year as more players get injured and the pool gets completely dried up. But I'm going to give you my top five waiver wire pickups of the week. And a man you spoke about at the start of the show, Cam, he is 43% owned, and that is Jack Watts. Listed as a forward playing defense. I liked him in the preseason with that role, moved him up my board as the second week went on. But I find it hard to believe that he'll be at James Sicily's level. But it's a very fantasy-friendly role, taking the intercept marks, playing loose. We know Jack Watts is a good user of the ball. We know he's got fantastic endurance from all the swimming he does. So I find it, I think he's a really nice pickup. And as we say, forwards tend to not matter, and there's quite a lot of good forwards floating around in the pool. Someone else I'm interested in, Darcy Tucker, listed as a midfielder, only 28% owned. He's playing a lot of midfield time for the Dockers. At the half, because that's where we're at. He's already reached 50, kicked a goal, laid some tackles, a lot of contested ball. We saw him play that role in the preseason, but he was someone who was quite down on the draft board. But with so much midfield time at Fremantle, it's kind of hard to ignore. Same goes for Jack Graham from Richmond, who's quite lowly owned. Jack Graham actually played a lot of midfield time last year for Richmond, more of as a defensive player. But whether he can evolve his game to be a more attacking player, win more of the footy, we will see. But he's certainly interesting. Charlie Cameron from Brisbane, 35% owned. This is a forward, and we saw flashes of Charlie Cameron's fantastic ability and ability to put a score on the board last year before he got injured. So he's certainly someone I'm looking at picking up. And just lastly, someone who is more super coach friendly. I think they're all, especially Jack Watts, is fantastically super coach friendly. But Jacob Wietering, listed as a defender, 22% owned on the Ultimate Footy. We know he's a talent, hasn't been able to put it together. Carlton have sort of shuffled him back, shuffled him forward. Maybe he can settle down and do some nice things. I'm certainly interested in Jacob Wietering. Gentlemen, what have you got for us, Jono?
Yeah, I had Jack Watts up there as well. He does have that cushy matchup against the Blues in round two. As we know, Carlton aren't exactly polished while going forward, so plenty of intercept marks there for Jack Watts. A guy you and I have actually been pretty hot on over the, well, just recently, is 2 meter Peter for the Gold Coast Suns. He's listed at 48% ownership, and their draw over the next month is not too bad if you are 2 meter Peter coming up against Freo, the Doggies, and Carlton over the next 3 weeks. So I am an owner of 2 meter Peter and pretty happy with these scores as well. Sam Lloyd, I'm only interested in him in Ultimate Footy as he is listed as a forward. He's mid-only in the other formats, but he's listed at 42%. He's actually got a really fantasy-friendly role. It's sort of the Devin Smith role from last year. He's starting forward, pushing up in the midfield, so he's getting a little bit of mid-time. He's getting the tackles and a couple of goals as well. So something I'm liking, and if you can find him there, I'd be picking up and just stashing him as a forward because he's going all right. Riley Bonner as well. He was just dropped off the face of the earth this year, but only 32% ownership. Again, it's only a matchup for Carlton that I'd be looking to use him for. He'll be just there sweeping it up left, right and centre. I don't know why I've got this bloke's name, but Jake Melksham.
I love the milkshake, Jono. Loved it. He actually rang our house. I was trying to get Mrs. Fizz to renew it. Actually, it might have been Baby Fizz to renew her baby membership. And the old milkshake got the cold shoulder. Couldn't close the deal. So he's obviously been fired up by that.
It certainly is. 65% ownership. He's right on the cusp there. Look, he's not going to be a high possession getter. He's going to play a lot of tackles, get a little bit of the ball, contested winner. So he's going to pop out 80s every week. And if that's your F5, that's going to be fine. They're my five guys.
Yeah, certainly interesting. Peter Wright, Jono, I mentioned I've actually got him in my off-brand team for Supercoach. And the Gold Coast for early run of the season is pretty handy, and he's a very capable backup ruckman. So certainly don't mind that one.
Well, he was beating Lewis Peterson, whoever else St Kilda had. Like, he was actually. I mean, he's coming up against the Bulldogs in a couple of weeks. I mean, that's only Tim English and maybe Trengove if he plays, and
yeah.
Carlton is what, Andrew Phillips.
Yeah,
big deal.
Yeah,
so it's. Good matchups as well there.
Yeah, probably more Supercoach friendly, you'd say.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Cam, what do you got for us?
I just wanted to add, old mate from the Gold Coast Suns, Will Powell, coming in at 4% ownership and blasting out a 103 to start the season, which is pretty handy. He's probably not going to do that every week, and you can tell by the discrepancy between his AFL fantasy score and his Supercoach score that maybe there were a few clangers in there, but he did have a pretty high time on ground of 87, and he's listed as a forward. I mean, take the punt.
Yeah, don't mind that. And Statesman, what do you got for us finally?
Yes, a couple of them were taken by you, Steve, so I'll just deliver the last three. Rhys Matheson. We didn't think he was going to be part of the best 22, but he's only 55% owner, is probably the reason. Pumped out an 80 and actually played okay. We need to balance that out and understand that there might be players that look or come back into that squad that might take his place, but at the moment he looks pretty good. Aaron Norton, the next one, only 29% owned. He's playing a bit up forward, but can play that role in defence as well. He is Western Bulldog, so he could be playing anywhere. He'd be the ruckman next week. You never know. But pumped out a 79. So at only 19 years of age, only his second year, especially in keepers, I'd be looking to pick him up. He might be quite worthwhile. And then the last but not least, did play against the Gold Coast, but pumped out a 92, and that's Jack Loney. He's someone that I'll look at to stream when they've got the loophole matches, but certainly worthwhile to be on your bench if you're struggling a little bit in the forward line. But 92 is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, a couple of those really interesting. Matheson, 12 contested possessions, 5 clearances. You got to like that. And I think Norton was someone we mentioned as a Supercoach keeper pickup when Morris went down, and then of course he plays forward because Bevo.
He's at Bulldogs.
Yeah, so very interesting there. I'm going to drop. One of my favourite articles was A Dozen Deals. We got Sam writing that now for us every week. There's so many great articles on the website each and every week, but A Dozen Deals one very close to my heart. And my trade of the week, the deal is Steph Martin. I am buying into Steph Martin. Why, you ask? He only scored 63 Dream Team and 82 Supercoach points. But what happened was it was greasy as all hell up in Brisbane on the weekend. And Steph Martin basically didn't play. It was either Steph Martin or the big O on the field at one time. Brisbane were opting to have the extra small on the field. I don't think that's going to be a regular occurrence. And Steph Martin is one of those ruckmen I talked about who can win the ball around the ground, will lay tackles, doesn't rely on hitouts to get you the great score. Maybe the Steph Martin owner is panicked. He didn't go as early as Grundy. He didn't go as early as Gorn. He went through the middle rounds in your draft. So he, I think, is a lot cheaper to buy in a trade. And he is someone I think will bounce back in a very big way. So certainly a big fan of Steph Martin. And Statesman, did you have a Captain Risky for us for next week?
Yes, I haven't looked too in depth because it wasn't on the running sheet, just quietly. But I will check up and just see the loophole option. So just going to quickly call up the fixture.
Richmond, Collingwood next week.
Yeah, so look, the risky option is to actually go for Dusty because most people are going to be off him, but I wouldn't mind backing him because it's generally the case that midfielders against Collingwood generally score okay. And I think even though there was a high rotation of players going through it, you saw Geelong actually do that on the weekend. The next one I would look at is the Friday night game, because we saw the Adelaide Crows really rack up the footy, and we saw the Western Bulldogs cut Sydney up. So I think both teams will be a bit fired up. So I reckon Matt Crouch is a great option here. I think he'll go big. And, of course, we can't go away from what we're seeing at the moment with the Fremantle Dockers. They should absolutely smash the Gold Coast Suns. So Nat Fyfe, if we're looking at what's happening right now, looks like he's going to have a big season. So I'll go for him for a bit of a different slant on your captain. And certainly when we're talking super coach, Nat Fyfe can go big.
Yeah, some great options there. Hopefully a bit better than... Who was it you chose last year in round one?
No, I just gave a risky for Sean Grigg because it was a number two. And look, I'm quite happy to put my hand up. But I will say, we'll quickly look at Statesman Skippers this week. Let's see who we name. So Matt Crouch and Jager, I think that one went all right. Gus and Tom Rutcliffe for the... Rockcliffe for the Melbourne Port Adelaide. That was okay. Western Bulldogs, not so good because I went for Josh Dunkley. That was the Bont. Brisbane and West Coast, the captain risky was Dom Sheed.
Boom!
St Kilda Gold Coast was Jack Steele, so that's not too bad. GWS and Essendon, well, we won't mention that Zach Merritt was my captain risky, but he proved why he was risky. But it was Sissa Studio was the gun for that one. And I've got Goldie and Nat Fyfe for the last game. So that wasn't a bad first round of Statesman Skippers.
Yeah, so you can check out that article and all the other fantastic articles on the Draft Doctors website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, and that wraps it up. Round one is in the can. John, I hope Jack Siebel, you know, forgets to come out at half time and gives me a fighting chance to get over the line, but it's obviously going to take Sean Darcy another 28 hit-outs to get me over the line.
That's 15 points in the matchup, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, all right.
I'll get Nick Vlosten and lose, so it doesn't matter.
That'd be so good. All right, thanks for tuning in, listeners. We hope you have a fantastic week. And, of course, we hope you won your matchups this week. And we'll see you next time.